Morning. When I was doing a Doksan just now, I was looking, I'm looking at the person, of course. And out the window, not far away, two hawks dancing with one another on top of this rooftop over there, and then one would go away, and then one would come back, and I'm concentrating on the person in front of me. But, you know, you don't know what's going on in the air around us all the time. There's a little courtship happening out there. Kind of lovely. I didn't see a nest, but I suspect there must be one nearby. And today is the last Sunday in January. January, named for Janus, the Roman god, the god of beginnings and transitions, gates and doorways, and of time, time itself, Janus. So when I think of January, you know, even though it's only a few weeks away from the winter solstice, I think it's like spring. It's time to move on. There's going to be more. There's more light when I come to the Zendo in the morning. Already, it's not pitch dark out. So, it's warmth, growth, life. And of course, in our politics in this country where we live, every 4 years, January marks a new president. As it did last year. So this is like, for many of us, a second year of protest. Women's marches are only a small part of that. It's a kind of standing up that's going on about what many of us think is a very dangerous and greedy governmental administration. And yet, January offers us some hope, resolve, maybe a strategy, how to offer ourselves towards a more healthful world. So Janus, this Roman god, has two faces. You ever seen those? There's one in the front, one back here. Looking forward and backward. The transitional nature of time. So it's not surprising to me that after I put together notes for this talk, I realized that I had actually given a talk on this very same koan last January. I was like, oops. I try not to repeat for several years, but I guess both Januaries are urging me to offer a way of understanding the times and appropriate response to these times. So it's a different January than last January. We've witnessed frightening threats to our world security, to the immigrant, the poor, and the earth itself. So it's no wonder that I want to bring up this koan again. It's a study text that talks of the end of the world as we know it. Also, since I'll be teaching a class this year about koans, I want to talk about this koan today a little bit, as we will be approaching it in the path class, which is like from not just supertism, but personal, what this means to me personally, what it means to me interrelationally in the world, and how I understand it is as an element of the Buddhist teachings, so kind of on three levels. And so this koan is the one we'll be studying for this first month of the year. You know, koans can get a very bad rap because they're difficult to understand and appear to be ambiguous at the beginning. But they're just tools to clarify our lives. And they're tools that, you know, are literary, beautiful, elegant. Why not use that? There's all kinds of paradigms that we can use and do use to understand ourselves in the world. And this is one of them. So the one that I'm going to talk about today is Dai Sui's Aeonic Fire. This appears both in the Blue Cliff Record and in the Book of Serenity. Dai Sui is the name of a teacher, and aeonic, if you remember, means a long period of time, an aeon, a fire that occurs in an aeon. In Buddhism, we call it a kalpa. And you may be, you know, it's a really long time. And I'm kind of challenged with numbers, so like billions, it means nothing to me. Actually, it's just a lot. Buddhism always has some marvelous definitions. So one of the definitions of a kalpa is how long it would take to wear down Mount Everest if every 100 years you took a silk cloth and rubbed it over the top. That's a kalpa. That's an aeon. That's a long time. in the ancient scriptures, there are periodic total destructions of the universe, which mark the end of each kalpa. So they have a really grand view of time. It's Armageddon. Or we could say the threat of nuclear war in our time. This Thursday, January 25th, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists moved the doomsday clock 30 seconds closer to midnight. It is now 2 minutes to midnight. And midnight, you know, in that paradigm that they're using, the metaphor that they're using is the end of humanity. Because of the threats of nuclear war and climate change. 2 minutes to midnight. So, you know, Kaz Tanahashi, who some of you may know, he's like a friend of the Zendo, and he occasionally is here, and he's a major translator of Dogen and a calligrapher, artist. When he was 12, that was when Hiroshima was bombed. He wasn't in Hiroshima, he was further north, but so he has been profoundly influenced by what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he emailed me last week to help with a new effort that he's putting forth. He's creating a website and encouraging people to start study groups and groups around the country to protest against the escalation of nuclear attack. So it's a kind of new thing that he's starting. So this koan about the aeonic fire is not an abstraction. It's about our lives and our personal, individual aeonic fires. So the story is a monk asked Dai Sui. Dai Sui is a teacher. When the fire at the end of the aeon rages through and the whole universe is destroyed, is this destroyed or not? Dai Sui says, destroyed. the monk says, then it goes along with that? Daishui said, it goes along with that. So the monk was still not happy with that answer. So he went to another teacher, Longji. When the fire ending the aeon rages through the whole universe, is this destroyed or not? Longji said, not destroyed. The monk said, why is it not destroyed? Longji said, because it's the same as the universe. Because it's the same as the universe. But this is very koanic. Two answers to the same question. So this, the first teacher, Daizui, was one of the great Zen masters who studied under Dao Wu, Yongyan, and Dongshan, names you hear. And after his transmission, he wandered around China and finally settled in the trunk of a hollow tree near Mount Daizui. That's how he got his name. Old hollow tree, we would translate it as. And it was right in that hollow tree that the first part of this koan took place. The anonymous monk asks about the end of the world. When the fire at the end of the aeon rages through and the whole universe is destroyed, is this destroyed or not? What do you think he means by this? It might mean this one, me, and all that surrounds me, all that I love and care about, this right here. Maybe also this belief system, Buddhism itself. Maybe also the idea of Buddha nature, one's own Buddha nature, the interrelated aspect of our being. Will all that be destroyed in the great fire? So he sees those as two, the universe and me, or Buddhism, or Buddha nature. So, you see? Will it all burn up completely? Will it all be destroyed? All that he valued? So for me right now, this could be about my worldview, what I hope for the future of the world. And what I fear is this resurgence of populism and really broken leadership that's catering to greed and hatred out of ignorance. Something that creates an us and them culture. And maybe you're concerned about that too. How the changes in this country will affect you and the world you hold dear. So we may all feel like what we care about is at risk in the great Kalpa fire. So then, we have the one as me and what I care about. And we realize that this is also the cries of the populace. What they care about. My culture, my views, my way. Will it be destroyed? And what would be destroyed? What optimistic view would be destroyed? The ones of us who thought that the world would more or less go along as it had in the past? That somehow the world was moving toward a more healthful and permanent equilibrium? I don't know why I and you perhaps have been seduced into the idea of some kind of permanent progress. Where did we get that idea? In the Vimalakirti Sutra, there's a song about bodhisattvas who come to save sentient beings. That's what bodhisattvas do. They do their best to serve and to save beings. And they do that by creating illusions to inspire deluded humans. And here is the way they try to help us dissolve the delusion of permanence. To beings that have a concept of permanence, they manifest impermanence, displaying the aeonic fire that burns the earth. So the Vimalakirti Sutra, you know, is like 600, 700 years before this koan. So this koan is like subtly kind of referring to that a little bit. So that we don't fixate on the way things are, the aeonic fire reminds us that everything is impermanent, including the planet Earth. The idea of justice, of the good. So, taking that point of view, you could almost perversely think that Trump and his allies are bodhisattvas waking us up to our delusions of permanence, that things are going to be fine just like they are. A dream that somehow, if we just keep on the way things have been going, the inequities and suffering of the world will be extinguished. Boy, that's a question we need to continually ask ourselves and not be satisfied with what we hear, what we're told, the stories we're told that make us feel better. So back to the koan. Daisui tells the monk, yes, you are not separate. You are not permanent. You're immediately entwined with all that is. And when all is destroyed, you too are destroyed. And the monk says, if so, does everything go along with this? Still in working your way out. Daisui said, yeah, it all goes along with that. Nothing is left out. So Daisui is holding tight. Everything means everything. We are not separate from all that is. This moment is a part of all moments. Teaching of oneness. But there's a twist to that, you know. If you remember, we chant the jewel mirror of awareness. And there we're talking about how we are like a heron in the moonlight. At firstly, we look like one, because a heron is pale colored and the moon is pale colored. But we are also moonlight and heron. We're not just one. We're two. Being two, we can be destroyed because we're outside of oneness, outside of the wholeness of the isness, which by definition can't be destroyed. And the monk did not like this response. And he walked for months over several mountains to visit Longji. And he asked Longji the same question. You know, this happens a lot in the koans where someone is not satisfied with one view and goes to hear the other view. And it's different, you know. Longji says, not destroyed. The monk says, why is it not destroyed? Longji says, because it's the same as the universe. It goes along with it, because it's the same as the universe. Two different answers. Here, this is actually the universe itself. Wholeness is not destroyed. There is no destroyed or not destroyed. One side, the other side. This moment, all moments. My life, all life. Permanence, impermanence. Are they one or are they two? Looked at that from the perspective of separation, of individuality, things are destroyed. But looked at from the perspective of oneness, there is no thing that neither destroys nor is destroyed. There is tree, there are leaves. In one case, all is destroyed. In another case, the leaves fall and the tree remains. So to further illustrate this, you know, Longji says, you should go back to Dai Sui so you can understand this better. So the monk, the student goes back to Dai Sui, but when he gets there, he finds out that Dai Sui has died. So he trudges back over the mountains to Longji. And when he gets there, he finds out that Longji has died. Destroyed, not destroyed. In the verse's commentary, we're reminded, those who know the heart bring it forth. Don't haggle. Don't haggle. Don't get caught. Destroyed, not destroyed. Come back to this moment. As one and as many. Simultaneously. Bringing our hearts to this practice in this moment, we can cherish both our oneness, our individuality, and our manyness, our interrelationality with everything around us. So if you were working on this koan in your life, you'd want to examine your relation to death, to your death and the death of those you love. You might want to examine your relation to the idea of the end of the world as we know it, the end of humanity. And you might want to look at it from the perspective of the Buddhist teachings of emptiness and oneness. I think this koan is so immediate to us now. The dangers that we face in our lives, and individually, each one of us, to look at our aeonic fire and our relation to it. So I hope you'll look at koans a little differently and not think of them as like, you know, tests that have a single answer. But they're ways of experimenting with different ways of thinking about life and death, our position in the universe, and the teachings. So I have a gatha to offer for the end. Now is the time for us to meet the world and what it demands of us. We are needed, destroyed or not. We must act.